So we have finished, for those of you who've been with us every week, we have finished up our series on the prophets. We're going to do a two-week series this week and next week, which we'll get into in just a moment. You can open your Bibles slash click on your phones on Psalm 103. That's where we're going to be, Psalm 103. I'm going to read the first couple of verses. Here's what Psalm 103 says about praise and thanksgiving. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." It tells us a lot about thanksgiving and praise right there, just in those couple of verses. But I want to notice a couple of things, just three or four things that help us focus on what thanksgiving and praise is really all about. The first thing I want to notice here is that it is commanded. It is a command that that the author is putting on himself. He's commanding himself, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." He's commanding himself. And what's interesting, if you read on, this is said three times. It's said at the beginning twice, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." Then in the next verse, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." And then the very final verse, verse 22, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." This way of commanding ourselves rescues us from some of the lies that would stop us from praising God in moments that are difficult. There's all sorts of reasons we wouldn't necessarily praise God, and you can think of some on your own. Some of the ones that I thought of are, I don't feel like praising. I don't feel grateful. Sometimes we could say that, man, I don't feel very grateful right now. So I don't want to say thank you to God because it would seem inauthentic. It might feel fake. Or, I have nothing to be grateful for. Or, man, I am just so down right now. Or just simply, I don't want to. It takes work to say thank you. It takes work to cultivate gratitude. And in all of this, we have this verse. This guy, clearly, it's not coming automatically. This is important to notice. In this moment, praise, thanksgiving, gratitude aren't coming automatically. He has to tell himself to do it. He has to remind himself to do it. He has to command himself. It's like he's looking in the mirror and saying, I want you to make sure you are being grateful right now. Because the thing about thankfulness is it is a learned habit. So if you want to do it naturally, the way to do it naturally is to start off being willing to do it unnaturally. Just the way it works. Most habits in life, that's what happens. If you want to do something, so just last night, my daughter had her first ever guitar lesson. Like, first ever. Yeah, it was super cool. I loved it. I sat there watching her completely fail to strum. But at 8, like, that's fine. It doesn't matter. What matters is that she loves it. And it was funny. I asked the guy who's teaching her, I said, how long should she practice every day? And he said, don't let her practice more than 15 minutes. Not make her practice at least 15 minutes. Don't let her practice more than 15 minutes. I said, why? He said, because you need to keep her appetite wet. She needs to want to practice tomorrow. And if you stop her from practicing tomorrow, she's going to want to practice some more. And if you keep doing that, she will develop a habit of wanting to practice. And that is far more important than her getting any actual things down. She is training her to want to practice. I said, okay, that actually makes sense to me. I'm like, okay, I would not have thought of that, but thank you. I'll buy into this theory. And I think this is true for a lot of things. My daughter's not an awesome guitarist right now, and every single thing she does comes very unnaturally. Now, if she were to give up, right, if she were to say, well, you know what, Dad, I was hoping to play Let It Go the first time I ever played on the guitar. She hates that song, by the way. She would never say that. But I just wanted to play Let It Go the first time. It just didn't come naturally, Dad. My answer would be, you have to practice. The way to become a natural is to start off being an unnatural and unnatural your way into natural. Is that you with me? This is true for gratitude too. It's true for matters of the heart too. You become a natural by doing it unnaturally a lot of times. This is, you know, like ride a bike stuff, right? And so he commands himself. And what's interesting is one of the things that the Psalms do in a number of different places is they are prayers in which the person who is praying addresses his own soul. So in this one, he doesn't say it directly. In some of them, the psalm actually says, "Oh my soul," and then it says something. In this moment, it doesn't say that, but clearly he's addressing his soul. He is speaking to the inner part of himself. He's not just saying, "I hope I can do this." He's not just saying, "Man, I feel strongly about this." He is addressing the inner person, his deepest self. And it raises the question, somebody asked this earlier today, I just want to pause briefly, because sometimes people wonder, well, yeah, what is a soul exactly? When I see that in the Psalms, what are we talking about? The soul, to put it as simply as possible, is the part of you that gets all of the other parts going in one direction. Have you ever been in that moment where your mind wants you to go this way, and your heart wants you to go this way, and your desires want you to go this way? Anybody ever felt like that, like you are being tugged all over the place? But there is a deeper part of you that either chooses to give in to one of those three things or to do something different. The part of you that brings the rest of you in line. That part of you is your soul. It's the part of you that brings yourself in line in whatever direction you're going. And so that's why in these verses it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord." I want to bring my whole self in on this one. I want to bring my mind in on praising God. I want to bring my heart in on praising God. I want to bring my desires in on praising God. I want to bring my body in on praising God. It's why we encourage you to like stand up and raise your hands and like clap and stuff on Sundays when we praise God, because verses like this remind us we want to bring our whole selves in on praising God. Everything that we are, we want to praise God with that. And then it goes into this great phrase that I love, "With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name." What does that mean? What does it mean to praise wholeheartedly? I was thinking about that earlier, and I thought to myself, what's going on in my heart right now? And I want you to think about that for you. What's going on in your heart right now? Right now, in my heart, there are lots of feelings. I am feeling excitement and joy. I love teaching. I love seeing you guys on Wednesday night. It thrills me every Wednesday when you show up because I will be doing this whether you come or not. So it's either to a full house or to an empty house. I don't really care, but it's kind of fun to do it to a crowd. And so I'm always excited when you guys are here, and I get really excited when I start reading the Bible because the Bible really rocks my world. But I'm also, honestly, I'm sad over the loss of a friend. This week, I am weary. I'm confused about several things. I'm angry about a couple of things. Honestly, has anybody ever had this moment where you just feel like emotionally you are all over the map? It's not what are you feeling, it's how many things are you feeling right now? Can we get them all on the table? Right now happens to be one of those moments for me. But then there's also all the things I'm desiring. I am desiring sleep. I am deeply introverted. I am desiring some alone time. I am desiring friendship. I have a buddy that I heard from actually who pastors up in Maine, and he reached out to me this week and said, "Hey, when can we get together?" And so in a couple weeks we're going to be getting together, and I was really excited, and I feel myself desiring the time with him. I'm really excited about that. And then, but there's also things I need. I need food. I haven't eaten dinner yet because I'm clumsy. And so if I were to eat dinner right before I taught, I'd have like food all over me. I haven't eaten yet and all sorts of things. And so there's all of this kind of pile messy, disorganized pile of things that are going on in my heart. And if you were honest, there's probably a messy, disorganized pile of things going on in your heart. And it's with all of that going on in your heart that Jesus says, or that these verses say, with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. What does that mean when you have a messy pile of stuff going on in your heart? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, let me pretend everything is okay and just praise God for all the good things that are going on in my life right now. You know what? I may be angry about a couple of things, but that really doesn't, that's not real. I'm just going to thank God for the fact that I have air to breathe today. That is not what that means. It doesn't mean fake it. That is praising God with a piece of your heart and choosing not to praise God with the rest of your heart. That is clearly not what this is talking about. It's also not talking about pretending everything's okay in life when it's really not. It's not saying, let's make everything outside of us praise God. That's not what we're talking about. Sometimes the world does not seem particularly honoring to God, does it? Seems like sometimes the world is like dishonoring to God. And there's lots of reasons for that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all the things that are inside of you, bringing all of those to the table when you're praising God. So how do I praise God if I'm tired? How do I be grateful to God when I'm tired and I've got things to do? You know, I got tired about like 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then I had a start dinner and to teach and access. And then I get to sleep. And how do I be, and I'm not trying to use myself as an example, except because I was doing all of this and then thinking, I better actually do it if I'm going to tell them to do it, right? Like, let me not be a hypocrite today. And so I was thinking through my day and just thinking, what does it mean to be tired and praise God? And I'll tell you one thing I can praise God for in the middle of moments I'm tired. It is so awesome to know he does not get tired. He is busy running the world and has been doing it longer than I have been alive, and it suddenly hit me, it's a pretty good thing he doesn't get tired, because there are moments I need a break. If I ever have a bad day on a day Jesus needs a break, I am in so much trouble. Thank you, Jesus, you do not need breaks. What does it mean if I am angry at somebody to be thankful and praise him? I don't know what it would mean for you, but I'm always brought back to the story of the one servant who was angry at his fellow servant who owed him like $20 when he'd recently been forgiven a debt of like millions of dollars. And I think to myself, every time I'm angry, it is a really good reminder that somebody forgave me more than I need to forgive them. Thank you, Jesus, that when I run out of ability to be forgiving, you do not. Thank you, Jesus, that you will give me. Because let's be honest, when I'm angry, I don't feel good. Anybody like being angry? Like, I think it feels kind of gross. Like, I'm like, but I don't enjoy it at all. Like, for a second, like, I enjoy the fact that I can, like, I don't know, like, hit something or something. But then, like, it's just gross, and I don't like it. And thank you, Jesus, that you are not going to leave me this person. Thank you for being committed to transforming and healing me so I can be the free person who doesn't deal with anger. That sounds great. I'm not there yet. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on me, because I would have given up on me a whole heck of a long time ago. What does it mean to be thankful when I'm hungry? That one's a little easier, isn't it? Man, I'm hungry. I haven't had a chance to eat, but thank you, Jesus, I get to eat today. Like, I'm going to go home, and the folks who ran the start dinner, without me ever asking, they always set aside like a dish for me because they know I don't eat before I teach, and so they sitting in the kitchen, in the table, in the fridge, there's like a plate of food for me that I get to go home and eat, and it's going to be amazing. And praise God, there's sausage. I mean, just thank you, Jesus. For those of you who know a little bit more about like the history of God's people, for thousands of years, they weren't allowed to eat pigs. And I am like, thank you, Jesus, I was not born into that era, because I'm not sure I could do it. This is the question we have to ask ourselves, is not how do I ignore parts of where I'm at, and not how do I be all super spiritual. I will be honest, I am super grateful for sausage. I am not kidding. Like, thank you. Yeah, right? It's a beautiful thing, sausage. I love that. But gratitude to God, praise to God, doesn't have to be all fancy and spiritual sounding. Like, let's be grateful for the simple things. Let's declare our thanksgiving for, like, silly things as well as serious things. Let's praise for the things that seem insignificant as well as for the things that seem significant. Like, this is the whole heart. God, I want to praise you with my whole heart. Part of my heart is very silly. I spend a lot of my time being silly. Pastor Tanisha was randomly played this, like, entrance music one time earlier today for, like, what was that for, Tanisha? Like, Snapchat? What was that for?
Instagram.
There we go. So it was for Instagram. I had no idea she was filming, but it was this, like, da-da-da-da kind of music. So without thinking, I just walked into the room like this. Because, quite frankly, in my head, that kind of music is always playing when I walk into a room. So I just went with it. You know what? There is a piece of me that is just silly. And I'm great with that. And that piece of me needs to thank Jesus, too. That piece of me needs to be grateful, too. I am grateful for the opportunity to be silly. I'm grateful that not every moment of life has to be super intense and serious, because I would, like, die. We need the silly parts. We have to ask with everything I am. So this really comes down to, like, making a list. What's going on in my heart right now? I'm just going to list it all out. And how do I be thankful for that? How do I be grateful for that? And so I want to pause for a moment as we think about this to just clarify, what is the difference between thanksgiving and praise? Because those are some terms we throw around all the time, and I'm not sure we ever actually know what we're talking about. So we're going to do a little bit of an exercise. Pastor David, if you would come up for a moment. We're going to do a little bit of, we can clap for Pastor David, he's amazing. There are some church traditions, while the whole time the guy is preaching, somebody is playing the piano right next to him, and I just feel like I would be deeply inspired by this. So I am so excited to do, like, I have thought about doing this on Sunday just because I love the idea of, can we have, like, happy jazzy music? Like, I don't know. I think this is inspiring. I'm inspired right now. But what I want to do, we can stop the happy jazzy music. That was more for Joe. But what I want to do is I want to talk about for a second what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude for God for what he does. For what he does. Thank you, Jesus, that you rescued me. Thank you, Jesus, that you got rid of my cold. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me air to breathe today. Thank you, Jesus, that I am in church with all these other kind of odd-looking people. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to read the Bible. Thank you, Jesus, that I have shoes to wear and clothes to wear and heat. Thank you, Jesus, for a roof over my head and a car or a bike or feet to walk or whatever. Thank you, Jesus, for... Now, before we get into what praise is, I want to practice this for a couple minutes. I want you to all stand up. Stand up. And I told you, one of the things that I learned from Pastor Choco was that part of practicing gratitude is getting over the barrier of feeling uncomfortable. So we are going to practice Thanksgiving and get over that barrier of discomfort together. Here's what we're going to do. You are going to just start saying, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, you are just going to start saying out loud to Jesus things you are thankful for. Thank you, Jesus, for, and then you're going to fill in the blank. And I'm going to do it so you don't feel too awkward. You'll hear me doing it over the microphone, kind of muttering a little bit so that I don't overpower anybody. And you're going to do it, and the people next to you are going to do it. And you're not, like, two or three things are going to come to your mind very naturally. And then it's going to be tempting to stop. And I don't want you to stop. I want you to push through that and just start thanking Jesus for anything you can possibly think of. I want you to thank, you can thank Jesus for individual people, for places, for whatever you want, for a job, anything. So, does everybody understand? If you understand, nod your head. All right. One, two, three. Jesus, I want to thank you for the fact that I get to be with these people tonight. I want to thank you for the Word of God. And God, I want to thank you for the example of Pastor Choco, God. Thank you that you gave me that moment with him where I got to learn from him. Thank you for Pastor David and his ability to play the piano in moments like this and all that he brings to the worship team, God. And thank you for the fact that I have a car to drive home tonight and for a home to go to. And thank you for my wife and my kids, God, that I get to have a family. Thank you, Father, for the clothes that I have and the phone that I have and the laptop that I have and all the ways that you provided for me, God. And thank you for the fact that I get to be loved by you. Thank you for saving me and rescuing me. And thank you, Jesus. And I just want you to keep going. Keep going. And I want you to raise your voice a little bit because it's not about whether or not people hear you. I want you to say it out loud, nice and loud. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity to focus on you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for the fact that I know that I'm going to get to have a real conversation tonight with people who love me. Thank you, Jesus, for the fact that I get to talk to you and you listen. Thank you for rescuing me, Jesus, for forgiving my sins, leading my life. Thank you so much. God, thank you for the leaders in my life. Thank you for Pastor Kurt and the vision for East Coast International Church that gives me this moment to connect with you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to pause for just a moment. I want to do one other thing here. Now, you stay standing, and I want to differentiate that thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is thanking God for something he has done for you or something he has given you. It's for a thing. It's for a gift. And so a lot of what you were saying was, thank you, Jesus, for, and then whatever it is he did, whatever he said, whatever he's given you. But it's for an item. The idea of praise is to look beyond the things that you've been given, beyond the things that God has done, to the character of the one who is the giver, and to celebrate God, not for what he has done, but for who he is. Here's the difference. Thanksgiving would say, thank you, God, for giving me clothes to wear today. Praise would be, God, you are so generous. See how it goes beyond the gift to the character of the giver? Thanksgiving would say, God, thank you for the opportunity to be part of this church. Praise would say, God, you are faithful. You have provided for me. You are wise. Your plan is good. Thanksgiving would say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Praise would say, Jesus, your love is unstoppable. You are so holy. You are so amazing. I can't get over the incredible risk you would take to love me. You are so loving. So unbelievably loving. See how it goes? It goes beyond the gift and goes to the giver and says, this is the kind of person you are, God, and I want to praise you for who you are. And so we're going to take a couple of moments and we're going to praise God out loud, just like we did with Thanksgiving, to say to God, God, I know that you are, and you can just start describing God to himself. God, you are holy. God, you are wise. God, you are faithful. God, you are so loving. If you're not sure what to say, look at your, flip through Psalm 103. It'll give you all sorts of examples of things to say. But again, when I count to three, we're going to start, and I want you to start nice and loud. Nice and loud, like you mean it. God can hear you even if you whisper, but there's something that happens in our spirit when we speak with confidence. There's something that happens in our spirit when we speak nervously, too, where we go, well, God, I just want to thank you because you're, good or whatever. And, that does something to our spiritual posture. But when we speak loudly, God, I want to thank you because you are good. You are holy, and I don't care who hears me declare you to be holy. It doesn't matter because I'm not talking to them. It shifts our spiritual posture, and that's what we want to do tonight. We want to practice praising in this moment. So, you ready? When I say you're ready, you're going to say yes as loudly as I just instructed you to praise, right? Are you ready?
Yeah!
All right. One, two, three. God, you are holy and you are wise and you are good and you are loving and you are trustworthy. God, you are so loyal. When I was not faithful to you, you were faithful to me. And God, you are so far-sighted. You have plans that last hundreds and thousands of years that can handle everything that I could possibly do and everybody else can do. God, you can do anything. God, you are so powerful. You are so good. God, you are good in a way I never dreamed was possible. And God, I cannot get over the fact that you love me. You love me more than I dreamed was possible. God, I could not understand what love was until I met you. I am so fortunate that you love me, God. You love me, God. And God, you are so incredibly kind. You are so gracious. Keep pushing now. Keep pushing. See how it gets to a point where it is easy to kind of feel like you have run out. And you know, one of the things I want to remind you about in those moments is that some of our greatest examples of praise in the Bible are some angels in Revelation. You keep talking. Keep praising God out loud while I'm talking. Keep going. Keep going. In Revelation, we see this moment where angels praise God. And you know what? They're not looking for fresh, fancy new words. They say the same thing over and over and over again. So if you're not sure what to say, say the same thing over and over again. If you could declare that God was loving a moment ago, he is still loving. If you said that God was holy, you can say it again. God is so holy. If all you can think of to say is that God is good, you can say it 100 times because he is better than that. He is so good. He is so kind. He is so faithful. He is so just. He loves you so, 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 so much. We'd have just another moment together before we break up into our groups. And so I want you to go ahead and sit down again. I'm going to tell you one more thing. Thank you, Pastor David, for playing. I love, by the way, as a simple tool, because it is really significantly, I, for one, cannot do that sort of thing. If there's like music with words playing in the background, like I get all sorts of derailed in my praying, I'll just be honest. If you are like that, I want to commend to you the 2 Bethel albums that are called Without Words, because they are a gift from God to me. I am so grateful that finally a worship team thought, you know what? Maybe they just need music. Yeah, we did. That was awesome. Thank you for that. I need to write them a letter. Thank you, Jesus, for Bethel. Anybody with me on that? Like, thank you, Jesus, for Bethel. But here's what I want you to think about. I want you to notice in these verses how many acts of thanksgiving and praise, how many words of thanksgiving and praise in these verses are acts of faith as well. He is praising God for things that have not fully happened yet. He forgives all of my sins. That is a learned truth about the past and a tremendous statement of faith about the future. Because I promised this dude was going to sin again. But he knew God was going to forgive him. He heals all of my diseases. Past, present, future. Disease will not win anytime ever, not in the life of a believer. Praise in anticipation of God's action is a profound way to praise. Let me be very clear here. I am not saying you think you know what is going to happen. I am saying that no matter what your situation is, you know the character of God, and therefore you can praise the character of God no matter what circumstances look like. If I am sick, I still know God is a healer. If I am struggling with something, I know God is there for me. If I am weeping, I know God is a comforter. I know that. The Bible is clear about that. I can hold on to that. And I can praise God for being a comforter in the midst of my pain. I can praise God for being a healer in the midst of my sickness. I'm not trying to manipulate, and this is important, right? If one of your kids comes up to you, or if another person comes up to you, if somebody from an apartment next door comes up to you and says, hey, you know, I really want to thank you for that thing you did for me last week when you, whatever, did my laundry or shoveled for me or whatever it was. Thank you so much. That's awesome. But you know what we're all waiting for? Oh, and by the way, could you... What happens to the value of that thank you when, oh, the by the way, could you comes along? Right? It's now useless. We never praise God. We never thank God trying to get him to do stuff. So when I pray God in the midst of sickness and I am praising God for being a healer, I am not trying to manipulate God into doing something. I am declaring my knowledge about who he is and declaring the fact that circumstances don't define who God is. God defines who God is. My perspective doesn't define who God is. The Bible tells me what God is. If I am sick and God is a healer, God is a healer. Doesn't matter. And I will just wait to see how God works it all out, because I can be very confident that the healer God, and this is great, this verse gives us that, right? I'm holding on to this one thing of healer because it's such a good example of this, and it's in these verses. It says, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Declaration of faith right there. A declaration of praise and faith that is incredibly profound.